Muscle problem. She's okay.
We are discussing Hilchot Deot, laws of character traits from the Rambam. And last week we discussed the golden mean. Right? The golden mean is you take all the traits, the extremes between the traits, and you figure out what's the middle path. It's very hard to do. And it's so hard to do this every day and keep an accounting of where one is in the character traits. So hard to do. And the problem is today that we're aggravated. I don't know about you, but Okay, people get aggravated and they lose their balance. That's the problem. All it takes is one person to upset you and you lose your balance. All of a sudden you're going very well, and your traits are doing well, your middle are doing well. All it takes is one person to come along and insult you or give you something whack or whatever it is, and your balance goes off. The person's got to bring themselves back somehow. However, there are exceptions, and that is education. And we're going to talk about that. Okay? So we are now on Halakha 3. I just want to go through Halakha 3. We didn't do it yet. Halakha 3 in the Rambam, chapter 1 of Hilchot Deot. And here the Rambam says, Shtei ketzavot harechokot zu mezu. There are two extremes in each trait. And these are the extremes of a trait, shebechol dei avdei, in every character trait. And the extremes are not good. And it's not fit for a person to go in the extreme of these traits. And not to teach them to himself. So if you see someone, very angry person, say, I want to imitate him. No, don't learn from that person. Don't learn from a book that tells you to be very desirous of different things. Don't learn from it. If a person finds that by nature they are going by one of these extremes, or he already learned this trait, and he did this, he's got to go and change himself. A person's got to change themselves from the extremes. It's very important to go and change oneself. A person's got to realize, I have this trait, bad trait, I have to change myself. So it's very important to figure out what trait a person has, what the traits are, and which trait is failing them, and fix that trait before it's too late. Because these bad traits can ruin their marriages, but they can ruin their job, it can ruin everything. Bad traits are the worst thing.
Children.
Ruin the children, for sure. The children learn them. And see all these marriages breaking down today. Why are marriages breaking down today? Because people have lost their patience. No patience anymore. People get on each other's nerves. They don't know how to deal with each other anymore. So it's a disaster. We're living in a disastrous time. And there was still, Sinat Chinam starts from us. It doesn't start with groups. It starts with individuals. I hate this one, I hate that one, I hate that one. Okay. I don't get along with so-and-so. As one man told his wife, and she said, I know you hate all my relatives. He says, no, I love your mother-in-law. I love your mother-in-law. So it's a rough situation today.
Excuse me, is there any? I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, so you have any more?
I don't have any.
Okay, next week. Next week.
Next week.
I gave you last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't worry. Her husband works for a printing company. It's good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, we're moving on. Haderech Hayeshara, the right path. Is the average in all the traits. The medium in all the traits. We talked about this. This is the golden mean. This is in Halakha 4. The golden mean. This is a very famous. If you have a pen, underline it. This is the golden mean. Put it over there inside. This is the Rambam's famous golden mean. The golden mean is to find the average in all the traits.
Where is it? 4?
Yes.
What's it called in Hebrew?
Shvil HaZahav. It's called either Shvil HaZahav. The Rambam does use the word Shvil HaZahav. It says Midah Benonit. Midah Binonit, the average trait. That's the. It's amazing how he defines this. Is the furthest point between the two extremes. The equidistant from two extremes. Amazing. This is how he's so precise to find this trait. Is the equidistant between two extremes of the trait. Now he says, look at this. Leficha. Therefore, the rabbi said. The rabbis commanded that a person should pay attention to their traits all the time. And measure them, and make sure they're in the golden mean. Kadesh she'esh alem b'kufor, so that his health will be good. The mind-body connection. This is something which people are just talking about today. Rama talked about the mind-body connection. If your traits are good, normally you will be healthy. It's amazing. So a person knows how to deal with people, and how to control themselves, their desires and their traits, and their anger, whatever it is, and their sadness. Usually that has an effect on the body as well. So it leads to a healthy body. A healthy mind leads to a healthy body. Healthy traits lead to a healthy person. which is so hard to do. It's so hard to have good traits because there's no role models. Where are the role models? Who are people's role models? We said the sports people and the actors. And they're the worst traits. These people have the worst traits. They're drunk, they're on alcohol, drugs, worst traits. So we have to find good role models. We find good models. So hard to do. You don't find them on TV, and everyone's looking at TV all the time. That's the trouble. There's no, you're looking on the internet. Where do you find good traits on the internet? I don't know. I haven't found them. So that's our problem. You know, it's interesting. In Jewish law, the custom is the Eastern Wall, you put all the great people on the Eastern Wall of the shul. When I went to yeshiva in Gula, many years ago, can't tell you how many years ago. Many years ago, it was amazing to see all the great rabbis live. Oh, so good. There's your role models right there about good traits. All my good traits. A whole line of them. They all must be in their 70s, 80s. Big, long, white beard. Amazing, amazing. See, it's amazing. It's amazing. Very, very good for me at age. See these tzaddikim in front of you. Right there. You have walking tzaddikim. Walking Sefer Torah. It's amazing. So it's so good. But where do you find that today? Yes.
And this will be your in the future.
Yes, it was the rabbi of Telz. The rabbi of Telz. What was his name?
Gifter.
Rabbi Gifter, yes. Rabbi Gifter had a son. He had all the rabbi's pictures in his room, and he had an empty space. He says, why not you? And he became one of them, eventually. When my kids were in school, they started collecting these cards. So I started the rabbi cards. Yeah, over here as well, in our youth, in our children's group, they used to give out cards. Over here, they're giving out Rebbe cards. So it's very important to get. So kids will have these pictures, and plus they have Bible cards today. Uh-huh. Tells you events, what happened in the Torah, as people collect it, they make a whole, like a book, Tanakh. It's very, very beautiful. The kids collect the right things. The kids' minds are set in the right direction, not set in the wrong direction. So it's very important. It says the traits create a healthy body. It's interesting. This is a mind-body connection. This is a mind-body connection. So a person who thinks properly and thinks in the nice thoughts and healthy thoughts and good thoughts about people, that's called a bar levav. David HaMelech says in Psalm 24, Mi'yaleh b'har Hashem, who will climb the mountain of God? Right? Bar levav, a person who has pure heart. Neki kapayim bar levav, clean hands and a pure heart. What is a pure heart? A person never thinks bad about people. It's a hard time, a pure heart. Another thing, you know, I wish that guy would drop dead. I wish that guy would drop dead. I wish that guy would get out of my life. It's so hard to do. Have a pure heart. And some people have pure hearts. This is a tzaddikim. And you see the face is shiny. Guy's face is, why is his face shiny? Because they have pure hearts. Pure heart. They're not desirous of other people, not desirous of other things. Pure heart. When I go see my mother, I mean, before when she was at home, I said, Mommy, you need this and you need that. She says, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to take it. She already knows that, what am I going to do with this? So I'll buy a new washing machine. So where's it going to get me? Unless it's not working. If it's not working, of course you buy it. But how long do I have? She says. So how many people think that way? Okay. So bar levav is someone who has just no desire anymore. The trouble is, we all need desire just to stay alive. You see these people in the old age home. They stop eating. They lose their desire. Stop eating. Uh-huh. Why? We had a guy here, 80 years old, fit as a fiddle, walking with his wife 5 miles a day, all of a sudden he stopped eating. Went off his food, he said, I want that. He had everything. He had money, he had children, grandchildren, lovely children. That don't happen. So it's a sickness. Machala. That's not what life is all about. A person needs some desire. It's a mitzvah to stay alive. The Torah says, "V'chai b'hem." You will live by it and not die by it. You live by the Torah. We say you can break Yom Kippur, except for the three cardinal sins. A person has to give their life for three cardinal sins. That's in yesterday's parasha. Where do we learn it from? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha bechol levavcha, bechol nafshecha. Love God with your soul. Sometimes you're going to give your soul for God. But otherwise, it's a mitzvah to live. Every day we stay alive. You know, it's a halacha. You have to stand up for an old person, even a pagan. You see an old man walking down the street, an old woman walking down the street, 70 years old, you have to stand up. Jewish law, you have to stand up. Within your 6 feet, they come within 6 feet, you have to stand up. Why? They survived. They're survivors. Every day they survive is another. They're fighting to survive, you have to respect that. We respect that. As Jews, we respect that. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're an older person, you survived, we respect you. It's amazing. So it's a very important concept to stay alive, and every day of life is another mitzvah. So, good thoughts, good character traits help a person to have good health as well. So a person is not healthy, it's a sign there's something going on inside as well. Internally, there's something going on. Either the person worries too much, or this and that, causes ulcers, it causes ill health, and other things going on. This is one of the signs of, that's why a person needs to be a doctor who has both sides, aspects. It's hard to find today, to find an all-rounder. Holistic, it's called holistic medicine. But it's very complicated. Holistic medicine is very complicated. That's not how traditional medicine works. The Rambam was very much into holistic medicine and also preventative medicine. The biggest job of the doctor is, 90% of the doctor's job is to stop people getting sick. The trouble is today we go to doctors when we're sick. We don't go to doctors when we're healthy. And people go to doctors when they're healthy and say, "Doctor, how can I stay healthy?" That's really the main, you know, that's Rambam's thing. That's why we're going to talk about diet and exercise and all the other things Rambam talks about. But here we're talking about character traits. Pardon?
They only study diseases.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, they do. It's free. You go for a medical once a year, annual medical once a year, whatever it is, preventative dental or whatever. Okay, we're moving on. So this is the golden mean. This is Shvil HaZahav in Hebrew. The Rambam Shvil HaZahav, and he says this, and this is the key to a healthy body. Amazing. So now he goes into more detail. Okay. So now he's going to detail. How is this possible? What are the different examples? Lo yehiyeh ba'al chema. A person should not be a ba'al chema. That's interesting. They use a different word for kas. There's a word kas, which is anger. Chema is heat, hot, hot-tempered. A person should not be hot-tempered. This is Pirkei Avot, right? There are four different kinds of people with tempers. What are the four kinds? Easy to lose and hard to control. That's the worst. Every little thing, the guy goes off, and he goes off, and he doesn't stop. Oh boy, that's the worst. You don't be around those kind of people, right? Easy to lose temper, hard to control. Easy to lose temper, and easy to stop it. So whatever you gain, whatever you lost by getting easy to lose temper, he gains by getting easy to control it. And then you have hard to lose temper, and easy to let go. That's the best. And then hard to let lose temper, and hard to let go, he loses whatever he gained. So you have four different levels. Pirkei Avot says four different types of people with temper. So Rambam says a person should not be a baal chema. Chema over here is heat. Hot-tempered. A person should not be hot-tempered. Noach lichos. Easy to lose their temper. On the other hand, Rambam says, you've got to be in the average. Lo kemet. A person should not be like a dead person. You insult me and I don't pay attention. Smack me, I don't pay attention. That's not right. A person should not be like a dead person either. We're human beings. We have emotions. A person should be on the average. Why did you do this to me? But don't be extreme. Don't get mad and lose your temper and smack him as well. First thing we learn in rabbinical school, don't throw chairs. Don't throw chairs at people. I actually knew someone who did and he got fired. I don't blame him. Okay. So a person's got to know how to deal with people and not get very angry. On the other hand, they shouldn't just turn a blind eye. This is not Christianity, it's Judaism. There's no turn the other cheek. Judaism says, why did you do this to me? I can sue you. You have Jewish lawyers, they're the best. I'll take you to the Beit Din. And in the Beit Din, you've got to pay five damages. What are the damages? Unemployment, if you hurt someone, unemployment. Doctor's bills, shame, pain, and the actual damages. Five things, and this is today's civil law, a civil suit. That's what they pay. This they pay on Jewish law. In Jewish law, there are five different penalties for hurting someone. So obviously, someone you don't hurt physically, okay, there's no physical damage, but there's mental damage. So the Beit Din has to estimate the mental damages. The Beit Din has to estimate the person is an honorable person. There were many people around you, shamed, humiliated in public. There's shame, tremendous amount of money. So it's very important not to get involved, especially in public, with hurting people and the shame, embarrassment. There's all kinds of damages. So, okay, I don't get angry. But you know what? I don't have to get angry. I can take you to court. Jewish law. There are other vehicles. Or the best thing to do is Hochia tochet amitecha. Rebuke them. Why did you do this to me? Why do you hurt me so much? I didn't do anything to you. Well, you're a pain and you're that. So at least they'll come out, you know, get have a conversation and try and sort it out. But if you get angry and you lose your temper, it's not going to help the situation. So it's not good to be a person that doesn't feel at all because you're not going to fix other people. They're going to help other people fix themselves. It may be good for you to be on a very high level and say, nothing affects me. It's water off a duck's back. I don't care. My ego is flat on the ground. I don't have an ego, it doesn't affect me. What about the other person, though? When are you going to fix them? So that's the problem. Lo yichos elav davar gadol. Don't get angry unless it's something major to get angry about. Sha'ur yichos elav. It's fitting to get angry. The trouble is sometimes people get angry and it's not really worthwhile. What are you fighting over? You're fighting. I know people, you know, when they give chatan classes. Sometimes in the chatan classes, they're grooming the groom. You have to groom the groom. That's why I think it's called the groom. Why is it called the groom? Because he needs grooming. So he doesn't realize. So we call him a groom. You're a groom. A groom. A groom means you need to be groomed. He doesn't realize he needs to be groomed. So one of the classes is about how marriages break on toothpaste caps. You didn't cover the toothpaste. You put the towel on the bed. You didn't put your clothes in the basket. Marriages break down on small things. These are major fights. These are major issues today.
It gets bigger and bigger.
So it's very hard to gauge. So that's what he says. Don't get angry unless it's a big thing. So now a person's got to figure out, is this a big thing or a small thing? He doesn't cover the toothpaste. Where's it going to lead to now? Maybe nip it in the bud, you know? Let's nip it in the bud.
The whole family not doing it.
It's a disaster. Okay. Let's not talk about it. So only if it's something big to fitting to fight about, is it something worth fighting about it? In order, the person shouldn't do it again. So that's what Ramos says. If you're educating someone by losing your temper, you educate this. It's not really a temper. It's an educational way of showing an angry face. Because I want to educate you. Don't do it again. Why do you do this? Don't do it again. Okay, so that's temper. So temper for an educational purpose is allowed. The teacher is allowed to show the kid's temper. Why are you doing this? Why are you talking when I'm trying to teach a class? You know, you're allowed to show temper. You mustn't lose it though. You mustn't. It's very hard to do that. A person's got to be a very good actor. The best parents are good actors. The child thinks he's in trouble, but he's like, you know, the parents don't care. But they want to educate the child. So it's very important to have that ability to be able to show temper without losing temper. It's so hard to do. The trouble is once you show temper, you start getting into the role. That's the trouble. But it's a very important tool in educational purposes to show, you know, at least be a little bit tough. Why are you doing this to me? Well, what do I do to deserve this? So that's not really temper, but it's a kind of asking a very harsh question. Now we move on to tava, desire. A person should not be desirous. This is very hard to do. This is one of the hardest things to do. A person should not be desirous only for things which the body needs. The body does not need it, I don't need it. See, I have a lot of food on it. This is a classic. There's chocolate cake and all sorts of cake. Do I need it? I want it. Yeah, I need it. No, I want it. A person's got to know the difference between want and need. It's such a big difference, want and need. And a person should only desire things which the body needs. It's impossible to live without them. Boy, if we have that standard of living, capitalism would die. We'll buy cars, luxury items out the window. But there is a little heter for them. We're going to talk about, I have it in my book, one of my books. And that is, Rambam talks about later on about aesthetics. There is a concept of aesthetics. The Gemara says three things widen a person's mind. What are the three things? Nice house, nice furniture, and nice spouse. So three things broaden a person's mind. So we do find that aesthetics does play a role. There's no mitzvah for you to live in a hovel, on a hard bed, and live on the floor. No. You've got to live in a way to operate. So whatever the moderation is. Moderation. The accepted standard in that place. But the extras, the luxuries above that, you don't need. If you don't need it, don't have it. Very simple. But it's very hard to live with moderation today. It's very hard to live with moderation. The person has the ability to buy more and buy more and buy more. So why not? So I need it. So if you really need it, fine. The question is, do I really need it? That's the question. Do I really need it or do I need to flaunt it? That's the question. Am I flaunting it? The Rambam says that causes a lot of anti-Semitism. The flaunting causes trouble. It's very important not to flaunt. So the person says, I have. So I'll flaunt it. I want to show off. Don't show off. Not a good idea. So the ideal is to control oneself. There's a movement today called simple living. Going back to simple living, not to overdo it. So even though I have the resources, I want to live simply. One of the good examples is Warren Buffett. He's a multi-billionaire. Lives very simply. It's the same way. He drives the same car. He lives in the same house. For 50, 60 years, he hasn't moved. It's amazing.
How much does he
many servants does he have?
He doesn't have servants. He drives his own car. It's you know, so it's interesting. Interesting way of living. And he said, I don't live for the money. I just, this is fun. I'm having fun. I'm doing it for the fun of doing it. And he gave, I said, I'm going to give half my money away in my lifetime. He gave half his money away to his foundation. But listen, so everyone could be like that. But it's a good role model. So a person should desire only things that the body needs. Otherwise, a person's going to destroy themselves, basically. If I don't need it and I have it, I want more. Eventually, they're going to destroy themselves. It's interesting. The people who commit suicides are the ones who usually have everything. It's very strange. It's not people who don't have. The have-nots in Mexico are not committing suicide. It's the people who have things over here, living in Western civilization, Western society, they're the ones who are committing suicide. Why is that? They have everything. So what don't they have? So they have everything and they say, life is not worth living. Why? Because I've tasted it. See, a person doesn't have it, says, maybe life is worth living. I'll get more, I'll be happy. So I'll be content later on. I'm not content now, but when I have it, I'll be content. But the guy says, I have it, I'm not content. Now what? What do I do now? It's a big problem. So the answer is, the answer to life's contentment is not physical things. The answer lies in the spiritual domain. That's what people don't know. It doesn't lie in the physical domain. You can have everything and still be satisfied. Why? Because there's a spiritual searching which a person doesn't satisfy the soul. The soul is not satisfied. That's why learning Torah is forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because Pikudei Hashem Yisharim is Samchei Lev. The laws of God are straight. They make the person's heart happy. Happiness comes from the spiritual domain. It won't come in the mall. You won't find happiness in the mall. You find unhappiness in the mall. So you buy the stuff and you give it back. Women like to do that. I don't. They buy things. One day I like this. I came home and think about it. No, I'll send it back. So you won't find happiness in the mall. Even though people think you will. That's a trouble. Society says thinks they will. Today they'll find it on Amazon. Not in the mall anymore. The normal malls. Okay. But the truth is, it's spiritual. Happiness is a spiritual concept, not a physical concept. So what does a person desire? And the answer is, the Yetzirah wants us to desire all kinds of things. The Yetzirah desire this. So we have all kinds of weird desires. And you see how big the person's Yetzirah is, because they have weirder desires, not normal desires. So what's a normal desire? Okay. I want a spouse, I want to have kids. They don't have that desires anymore. They don't want to get married, they don't want to have kids. And abnormal desires. Just have fun. What is fun? I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Let's not talk about it. What is fun for different people? So the Rambam gives us good advice. Don't desire things unless they're things the body needs. As it says, Sadiq ochel nof sova nasho. The righteous person eats as much as they need to eat. And similarly, a person should not overwork. Okay. See, this here, husbands would like this one. Go home and say, dear husband, the rabbi says not to overwork. He says, but I got to support you. I got to earn money. You got to buy those dresses, right? So jewelry. Huh?
I don't need so much. No, I'm saying that's what you should tell her husband.
Oh, okay. I'll quote you. It's better you say it than me, okay? Similarly, a person should not work so hard. To buy something just a temporary thing. So, by struggling, what are you struggling for? I want to buy this, I want to buy that. But they're just temporary enjoyments. They don't last. See, people putting on lavish functions, and then they're in debt. Right? What for? How long is the function? For 3 hours? 5 hours? And that's it, and it's over, and people don't even remember it afterwards, and you pay so much money, you borrow so much money, you can't afford. Why? Live within your means. No, I got to do it, because everyone else is doing it. People take lavish holidays they can't afford. Crazy. I'm talking about Brooklyn, I'm not talking about over here. Okay. And a person should not be too tight-fisted. So a person should not be a spendthrift. And a person should not be a miser. There's a balance over here, being a spendthrift and a miser. Two different extremes. A person should not scatter his money. And a tenth tzedakah kefi masat yado, he should give tzedakah within his means. Even giving charity. Don't give everything away, then you're going to be a charity. So he said maximum 20%, not more than 20%. Don't give everything away. Lend money as much as you can. Don't overlend as well. Who says you get it back? So don't be too generous. It's interesting. You think, you know, Judah would say, be very generous. Oh, give. Wrong. That's not halakha. Halakha is give within your means. You are number one. It's no use giving, and then you have to take. No point. I can't pay my school tuition, but I'll give a lot of staka. Give staka to the school. Your school is number one priority. That's the first staka you got to give. Don't give to other people before you finish your obligations. And the person should be too happy. And not too depressed. This is very hard to find a balance between happiness and depression. The person should be happy in a quiet way. With a nice smile always on the face. So it's good to have a nice smile always on the face. It's a sign of satisfaction. To walk around with a smile, says Rabbi Victor Miller, would sit in front of the mirror practicing his smile. Because your face, he says, is like a public domain. Your heart is a private domain. No one knows what's in your heart. But everyone can see your face. So you're walking around, your face is a public domain. We have to realize that. Your face is like a street. Your face is a street. Everyone's looking at your face and seeing. They see a guy smiling. That's what he's like. They don't know what's going on in his head. But they can see your face. So put on a pleasant face. This is actually Shammai, of all people, in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avot. Havei mekabel kol adam b'sever panim yafot. We said many times, sever stands for empathy. Panim is your face. Yafot, nice face. A face full of a smile and empathy. Can I help you? I'm willing to help you out. I'm willing to hear you out. So all these apply to all the different traits. Always find the medium in these traits. Zohi derech hachamim. This is the way of the wise. So a wise person. The way of the wise. Hachamim. Derech hachamim. Kol adam shliotzav deot benoniot. Misani kri hama. Now here we have a new definition. Rambam's definition of a wise person is, it's not how much they know, it's if they fix their traits or not. If they have traits, which are through the golden mean, hacham. If his traits, he may know a lot, but his traits are terrible. Oh, what kind of wise person is that? That's not a wise person, that's a fool. So it's very hard to do this. It's very hard to have the right traits. And that's why we need to learn Musar. This is Musar, but this is more than Musar, this is Halakha. This is not something which is advisable, this is something which is necessary. It's necessary to fix our traits. And the Buddha God said this many times, our whole function in this world is to fix ourselves. Tikkun Olam is me, I'm an Olam. Each one of us an Olam, each one of us the whole world. We have to fix our world first, then work on the other worlds. Okay. So now, what about a person who says, you know what, I want to err on the side of caution. So Rambam says, you know what, don't be too angry and don't be too mean. Don't give too much money away and don't be too tight fisted. I want to give a little bit extra. A little bit extra. I want to be a chassid. What is a chassid? A pious person. I want to do more than the average. I want to go above this average. I allow to be pious in the good side of the average. So you're not allowed to lose. You're not allowed to be too have a big temper. Not allowed to not lose your temper at all. You have to be in the average. But I want to be in the average plus the side of not losing my temper. I'm not allowed to give too much money, not to be too miserly. I want to give a little bit more than I need to. I want to be a chassid. So that's the next halacha. Halacha hey. Mishu medakdek alas mo biyoter. A person is very, very careful with himself. And he wants to stray a little bit from the medium path to a little bit excess on the side of caution, of giving more, of doing more, of being less angry. Miyat letzadzeh or letzadzeh nikra chassid. That is called a pious person. Person says, you know what, the staka maximum you give is between 10 and 20%, I'll go on the 20%. I want to give the maximum allowed. I want to give the average. I want to give more than the average on the good side. That is called a chassid. That's a pious person. Ketzad. So now he's going to give an example. Mi shiritrachek megova lev. Now we come to a person who wants to keep away from pride. Ara katziachron, to the nth degree. And he wants to be very, very humble. Nikra chassid, that's a pious person. And that's midat chassidut. That is the trait of chassidut. This is before the chassidim came along. We're not talking about chassidim over here, we're talking about chassidut. Chassidut is piety. Piety, the true aspect of piety, which Rambam talks about, also talks about by the Misilat Yesharim. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in his book, Path of the Just, talks about chassidut as well, where he also talks about doing, erring on the side of caution. The halakha may be this, but there may be a stricter opinion. I want to always keep a stricter opinion. I don't want any leniencies. Rabbi, I'm asking you a question, but I don't want any leniencies. Just give me the most strict opinion there is. Oh boy, I never had a single person come to me like that. A lot of people say I'm too lenient, but that's a different side. It's good to be lenient. There's no mitzvah to be strict. I follow Avad Yosef. He says there's no mitzvah for the rabbi to be strict. The rabbi who's too strict has to give din and cheshbon eventually. That's what Avada Yosef, Rav Yosef says. Because the halakha is this, you can't say, do something more than that. If the guy says, I want to keep more, okay, there's another opinion. But that's a chassid. That's a choice a person makes for themselves. It's not something which I can tell you, be a chassid all the time. However, that's not the opinion of the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai is always erring on the side of caution. Be a chassid, be a chassid. He writes a book for chassidim, basically, of halakha. So, there's different aspects, different ways of interesting, different ways of psak. So a person says, you know what, I don't want to be average when it comes to ego. I want to be on the extreme of humility. That's a pious person. Zoi midat chasidut, it's a way of the pious. That's not something which is obligatory, that's something voluntary. You want to be pious, that's your business. Just don't be pious on my account. Interesting, right? Don't be pious on my account. Someone asked me yesterday, I want to be noheg to say, what does Ashkenazim say for wishing someone a young on Rosh Hashanah? Tikatevu, tikatevu, right? So I want to start from Tu B'Av. There's opinion, the moon catcher, he says, to start from Tu B'Av, because that is, I know, the gematria of Tu B'Av is this. That's what he told me. She said, Rabbi, can I start? I said, yeah, but don't drive people crazy. You go wish people to say you're crazy, I say you're nuts. So if they're going to not think anything of it, okay, but if they're going to start asking, you know, why is this guy saying to me, Dafka, like I need more help, like, so don't drive people mad. Don't be a chassid at other people's expense. And that's what the Mesilat Yesharim says, very important. That's people forget. So I want to grow my beard. What about your wife? I don't like long beards, the wife says. But I want to be a chassid. I want to grow my beard. The wife says, no, it's going to cause marital problems. So you're going to be a chassid at her account. She has to agree. So it's very important not to do things. If it's necessary by Jewish law, you have to do it. If it's a chassidut, then why bother? Why rock the boat? I rock the boat. So a person's going to pay, you've got to see the expense. There's a column, loss and, what's it called? I'm not a businessman. Profit and loss. Suppose going to know the profit of the mitzvah and the loss. The profit of doing extra and the loss involved. You can push aside a lot of people by doing extra. So for example, there's a mitzvah to run to shul. There's a mitzvah to run to shul. So the Ramchal says, but if you're running in the public domain, people think you're nuts. Here's a guy with long peyot running in the highway. You're on Route 27, you're running around. And people say, today people don't pay attention to anything. I'm saying the days you have to be proper. You go to England in the 50s, and you're running around like a lunatic. They say, you're a lunatic. The Jews are lunatic. They give people a bad name. So the mitzvah, they don't understand the mitzvah to run to shul. So in a place where people understand the mitzvah to run to shul, but in a place where people don't understand, they'll give a Jew's bad name, don't run to shul. Okay. Had a neighbor, my old neighbor. You see him on Shabbat dressed up with a suit and his hot temperature. He says, oh my God, how do you do it? I can imagine if you saw me wearing a shtreimel. Okay. So there is a thing called chassidut, which is going beyond the requirements of the law. The requirement of the law is average. Be an average, but average traits. Halavai, we should be in the golden mean. But there is a concept of being a little bit erring on the side of caution, a little bit extra. So he says, that's midat chassidut. However, he says, if a person is in the middle when it comes to humility, nikra chacham, that's a wise person. Zeh midat chokhmah. So there's a difference between chokhmah and chassidut. Chokhmah is the average, and chassidut is going beyond the average. Amazing. And this applies to all the different traits. Now it comes to the phrase in the Talmud. Talmud talks about the chassidim harishonim, the early pious ones. It's interesting. Whenever the Gemara says chassid echad, the Marsha says, this is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. I've been to his grave. I just was at his grave. His grave is near Meron. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, one of the famous authors of the Mishnah, five rabbis in the Mishnah all the time. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai was known as the Chassid. Whatever the Gemara says, Chassid Echad, it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Imagine, he had this name, his reputation as a Chassid. What does that tell us? How many Chassidim were there? How many really pious people are known for their piety? Whatever the Gemara says, Chassid Echad, it's only Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, we're in trouble. Where are the other Chassidim? So it was a very, very small club of pious people.
But this is not just pious. They're going beyond.
That's what piety is. Piety is going beyond. That we just defined piety. Piety is going beyond.
Everything.
That's a chacham. That's chacham. That's a wise person.
Okay.
So we said, wise person, average. But it's beautiful. It's not average. You're called a wise person. That's a very high level.
That's right.
Who can be on a high level like that? It takes a lot of effort just to get to the average. When we're talking about average over here, we're not talking about average person. We're talking about the average in traits.
Mm-hmm.
The average person does not do this. Don't worry. There's very few hachamim as well. But to be a chassid has got a little bit extra. Chassidim arishanim. So the Gemara talks about chassidim arishanim, the early pious ones. Hayu matin deot shelehem b'derech haim seid. So they would go beyond the requirements of the law, beyond the basics, and they go to the edges of what's allowed. So I want to be more humble. I want to be more generous. I want to be less angry. That's a chassid.
Yes,
I said that. I said a person's got to be careful between the profit and the loss. Remember? Talked about the profit and the loss. And that, the Ramchal has a whole chapter called Mishkalei HaChassidut, weighing the piety. Weighing piety. It's a whole chapter in Mesilat Yisrael, the Path of the Just. Weighing piety. Very, very important. This should be taught in all the yeshivot. Weighing piety. Don't do something which is going to cause anguish to others if it's a pious act. If it's a necessary act, you have to do it. If it's a pious act, you drive people crazy. No point. יש דעות שמתינות אותן כנגד הקצה האחרון, ויש דעות שמתינות אותן כנגד הקצה הראשון. וזהו לפני משורת הדין. This is called beyond the requirements of the law. Okay. Now he comes to the mitzvah. Look at this. He brings down the mitzvah. Mitzuvin anu. We are commanded. This is not something which is not good advice. This is a commandment I'm telling you now. Lalechem drachim ha'eru. To walk in the average ways of all the traits. Fem ha'dvarim. Atovim, these are good ways, good paths. You'll walk in God's ways. What are God's ways? Hashem does not get too angry. Hashem is not easy to angry. Hashem is slow to anger and quick to forgive. That's God's ways. Hashem is merciful. We have to be merciful. Whatever Hashem does, we have to be like that. So this is God's ways. And that's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is, you'll walk in God's ways. So I'll tell you how to walk in God's ways. This is the explanation how to walk in God's ways. How do we walk in God's ways? So the answer is the average mean of all the traits. That's God's ways. That's what God wants. Kach limdu perush mitzvah zu. That's how the rabbis taught us the perush of this mitzvah. Mahu nikra chanun. Just we learned from the 13 attributes. Keil, rachum, v'chanun, erech apayim. All those we say in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Well, actually, Yom Kippur, these are the traits. Sfarim, we say it twice a day. Sheni v'chum shei. Yeah. But with Sfarim, we say it every day. Twice a day, these 13 attributes.
Okay, you say it twice.
Yes. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Every day. And Mondays and Thursdays is that we added extra. Right. And Slichot especially.
Before Rosh Hashanah.
Slichot we do 40 days. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai 40 days praying for Teshuvah, for Klal Yisrael, for the sin of the golden calf. So we also pray 40 days. Yeah. But yes.
So it says, like in the Talmud, it says that shouldn't covet our neighbor's possessions, you know, whatever. And yet in the same Chumash it says that Hashem can be a jealous God.
Yeah.
So isn't that like a kind of...
Well, let me just tell you what that means. What is a jealous God? He's not jealous of the property. He's not jealous of your spouse. What is he jealous of?
Idols.
Idols. Yeah. If you believe in others, it's a kind of marriage in a sense. He says, I'm jealous of your fidelity. If you are loyal to me, I like that. If you're not loyal to me, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of the other thing that you are involved with. If you're involved with idolatry, it's not about idolatry, it's not about the mind. It's not about the mind, it's not about physical things. So we have a command not to be jealous of physical things. But there is a mitzvah to be jealous of spiritual values. Kinat sofrim tarbe chokhmah. Jealousy of scribes increases wisdom. Wow, I wish I knew as much as that guy. I wish I could pray as well as this guy. I wish I would come to shul early just like the other person. That's allowed. That spiritual jealousy is allowed. That's amazing. Physical jealousy is a no-no. But a spiritual jealousy is allowed. We learn it from Hashem. Hashem says, I'm jealous. If you follow other gods, I'm going to be jealous. I'm a jealous husband. Right? So it's a very interesting concept.
I looked in the dictionary, definition of covet, and it says jealous. So.
Yeah. It is jealous. It's jealous, but it's a spiritual jealousy.
Yeah.
It's an esoteric jealousy. It's not a physical jealousy. Hashem's not jealous of us physically at all. But he's jealous. But it's not really, Hashem doesn't get jealous. All these things, the way Moshe Rabbeinu explained it to us. Because we have to have a way of grasping Hashem. Rama is going to tell us.
It's a jealousy in service of the people.
Pardon?
It's a jealousy in service of the people. Meaning he's jealous of the because the people are wasting their time on idol worship.
Yeah, but it's not really jealousy. What I'm trying to explain is Hashem doesn't get jealous. It's just brought down like that. Like just Hashem has a finger and a hand and metaphorical. It's for human beings to understand 3,500 years ago. Some of the Torah was written 3,500 years ago. For their generation to understand. So for them, they had to understand God is a man of war. For us, we don't need to know that. There's no man of war. God is powerful. We know that. We don't need the metaphorical explanations. But to put it in Dibra Torah b'lashon b'nei Adam, the Gemara says the Torah speaks in a language that people can understand. Which is interesting, that a child can read it and understand it, and an adult has to learn, you know, different levels of understanding. So there's a surface understanding for the Torah, which is amazing. The deepest concepts are brought down in a surface understanding. It's like learning Kabbalah. It's surface understanding, then you got to go deeper and deeper and try and understand what he's talking about. Just another minute. Okay. So this is the mitzvah. Just like he is called Hanun, which is gracious and gratuitous, he gives gratuitously, we also have to try and do that. So we do that when you're raising children. You're Hanun. You have to be Hanun. Manikra Rachum, he is merciful, you should be merciful. He is holy, you should try to be holy. It's so hard to be holy, oh God. Help us. But there is Zukaru HaNeviim. And this is how the prophet said, La'el b'chol otan ha'kinu'im, erech ha'payim v'chesed, tzadik v'yashar tamim, all these adjectives which define God. The reason why the rabbis use this, the prophets use these adjectives, is for us to emulate. Not for because this is the way you describe God. They describe God in a way that we can emulate God. It's a beautiful way of understanding the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu writes down the 13 attributes, it's not really describing God. It's for us to be able to emulate God. Okay, we have to stop here. 13 attributes, and Bezrat Hashem will continue next week. Same time, same channel.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you for coming.